You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, January 30th, the year 2018. I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanks so much for joining us today. We have a great show in store for you. Our guest is Christian Dyer, who has written about the Jets for many years. He is the NFL writer for the Metro New York newspaper. So let's go to our interview with Christian. Our guest today is Christian Dyer, who covers the NFL for the Metro New York newspaper and the Sporting News, and also Red Bull's Insider on MSG, which, so I took that straight off your Twitter handle, Christian, so I'm hoping that's accurate.
No, it is, and you forgot to mention how handsome I look in my Twitter profile picture, but, you know, we'll let it slide. It's been a long Monday for both of us.
I have to say, that is an egregious oversight on my part. You do look very handsome in your Twitter bio.
Thank you. My mother made my tie before I took that picture, so...
Anyway, you write about, so I guess you cover both forms of football. You cover, you know, the football we know and that football the
we're just starting to learn about, right?
That's right, yeah. But of course, you've covered the Jets for a number of years, and obviously this is a Jets podcast, so that'll be the topic of our show today. And Christian, have you ever watched the Jimmy Kimmel show where they have the mean tweet segment?
You know, you come on as a guest, you expect to get a softball question or two early on. What do you think about the Jets season? What do you think about bringing back Bowles or in the cabinet? But immediately we're going to go to the hate tweets. All right, just fire away.
Well, it's not a tweet, actually. It just pertains to an article you wrote a few weeks ago where you argued that the Jets should be in the market for a veteran quarterback. And the quote that I see here is, the Jets are closer to a win now mentality. So let me read you what one of my readers on GangreneNation.com had to say. It's pertaining to this article you wrote. Are you kidding me? He's advocating for a free agent quarterback. Cousins, meh, or Keenum, are you kidding me? And the are you kidding me has question mark exclamation point because, quote, the Jets are closer to a win now mentality, end quote. This is ridiculous. This team is nowhere close to competing for a Super Bowl. There should be no such rush to become relevant. That is the reason why they consistently have to rebuild without the critical piece, the quarterback. Win now. Give Jets fans a break already. So, Christian, why aren't you giving Jets fans a break?
Well, I thought I was by saying that I thought this team was better than people thought it was going to be at this point. I mean, there were an awful lot of pundits who thought that this Jets team was going to be coming off of an 0-16 season heading into free agency. And the reason why I think this team is closer to being a playoff team than necessarily being a team in full-blown rebuild mode is the simple fact that, what, at 5-11, there were some very winnable games that were still out there. When you look at, I think it's 7 of the losses were by 8 or fewer points. So you're talking about a team that was in an awful lot of games in the fourth quarter. Week 6, if things had gone a little bit differently and the referee had called an Austin Seferian Jenkins touchdown, an actual touchdown, and not ruled it as a fumble, this team could have had a very different trajectory going into the second half of the season. And I don't think it's a Jets team that's far away. They've got a young nucleus. They have a core. It reminds me a bit of the Dallas Cowboys teams in the early 90s when they were kind of knocking on the door there of the playoffs for a couple of years, you know, 7-9 seasons, and then all of a sudden took a step forward, won a couple playoff games, and found themselves in the Super Bowl. And I'm not sure the Jets are anywhere near that point yet. But when you think about the whole idea of rebuilding and you have a team that's progressed, that made 5 wins, that exceeded expectations, and has an awful, awful lot of cap space in addition to a very high draft pick, you begin to think that maybe this team's just a couple of players away. And I happen to think if you get a Baker Mayfield, who I know is the flavor of the month among Jets fans, and I'm not quite sure why, or Lamar Jackson, I thought regressed his final year at Louisville, you put him on the team, you expect him to start, and all of a sudden a 5-win team in 2017 might end up being 2 or 3 wins in 2018. I would think the opposite would be true with some free agent signings and a good, solid veteran quarterback. A 5-11 team could be double digits, like we saw with the first year under Todd Bowles. This could be a team that could rattle off 10 or 11 wins with more consistent quarterback play. So I guess that's a very long answer to say, I think that this team is just a couple pieces away from being competitive and playoff contenders. And I don't want to blow it up by drafting and starting a quarterback who probably have to start week one.
So which quarterbacks do you have your eyes on in free agency, at the risk of asking an obvious question? Because I think, you know, most people know the names. Which guys, are there any guys in particular you have your eyes on for the Jets?
Well, I mean, Nick Spano has been blowing up everybody's timeline, I think, with, signing Kirk Cousins, rather. I think he was tweeting at Woody Johnson multiple times. So obviously, Kirk Cousins is the guy who's out there, right? He's going to be the $30 million man. One of the highest paid quarterbacks, three straight 4,000 yard seasons, would be a top five passer with the Jets if he put up those types of numbers in franchise history. So you end up looking at Kirk Cousins and saying that's an awful lot of money, but it could be a really good investment. 2-1 touchdown to interception ratios. He's never played on a team with as good of a defense as the Jets could potentially have going into 2018. So I think Cousins, you have to begin the conversation with Cousins, but do you want to tie up potentially one third of the money you have going into free agency when you need to spread that money out a little bit? You need to think about some cap flexibility over the next 2 years with Leonard Williams, Jamal Adams. A couple big names are going to be hitting free agency. You don't want to blow the whole load right there in just 1 year of free agency. So if I'm the Jets, I would tend to favor. I do think a Case Keenum is intriguing, but maybe not consistent enough over the course of 16 games. We saw in the playoffs how he did in Philadelphia in that NFC Championship game. Did not look like the same player. Wasn't bad, but didn't look like the same player. And I think Nick Foles now, all of a sudden, you begin to look at the product he's put together, coming in essentially cold into the final couple games of the regular season. What he did in the NFC Championship game, he's been solid, he's been dependable, he's cut back mistakes, certainly has a pedigree, has started in the NFL, so you know what Nick Foles is. To me right now, I think Nick Foles is, if you dust off the crystal ball, probably the option that A, is the most reliable in terms of bang for the buck, in terms of the ability to get a team into the playoffs, has played at that level, and also is entering his prime. Some of these other candidates, when you talk about a Drew Brees, who I don't expect to hit free agency, or even re-signing Josh McCown to be your starter, not necessarily sure those are long-term options for the Jets, but Foles might be the one who kind of falls into that $15, $18, $20 million some team may end up paying for him, still gives the Jets then some flexibility to go out there and sign some other names. Cousins, on the other hand, is going to tie up an awful lot of the cap space, and not sure how much marginally better over 16 games Cousins is than Foles.
Yeah, what scares me about Cousins is, I mean, I think you could win with Cousins, but what alarms me is just, we're talking about the price tag, is that if you pay him that kind of money, are you using up essentially using up all the money that you could use to surround him with the supporting cast he needs?
Well, I mean, when you've got $80 to $85 million, yes, they're going to have to address, I think, some depth issues along the defensive line. Probably going to need to bring in another starting caliber linebacker and one cornerback, I would think, is a minimum in free agency. And not everybody has to be a $10 million player, but when you've got Cousins and you're probably going to spend about 3/4 of that money, so you're looking at $60 to $70 million this round of free agency and carry some over into the next couple of years, you've got to really look very, very hard and say, am I going to blow all my money on Kirk Cousins? And I agree. I think Kirk Cousins turns the Jets potentially into a playoff team if they draft or sign a free agent and, you know, get another offensive lineman and probably another running back they need to consider getting there. But is that going to be worth it when you're looking at, you know, a window of a couple of years that Kirk Cousins ties down that amount of money? Or Foles, who comes at maybe half, two-thirds of the price, where you can add a couple other pieces, bring some real balance to the team, and potentially have something a bit more sustainable and less of a one-trick pony.
Now, one name I haven't heard come up yet, and this is a guy who intrigues me, and I know that there's
Colin Kaepernick. Say Colin Kaepernick.
No, it's actually – so now this is a guy I've been talking about on this podcast, so – just keep that in mind, because, I mean, if you disagree with me, the next mean tweet maybe from me, Christian. But I understand, there are obvious concerns about this guy because he's coming off a very serious injury, hasn't played in 2 years, but I like the idea of bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. I think in terms of the money he's going to get, I don't think it's going to cost a lot of money. Now, I've kind of been saying like that approach in between the two of just free agency or a draft. What I like the idea of bringing in a free agent who can hold the, at the very least, you know, can hold the fort, maybe a guy with some upside who can surprise you, and also drafting a quarterback who may not have to play day one if he's a free agent. And Bridgewater's a guy I like for that role, and I understand the risks with the injury, coming off the injury, hasn't played in 2 years, but I think in terms of just risk reward ratio for the amount of money versus the relative amount of talent, I think that's a bet that I like.
Well, listen, if you're bringing on board Teddy Bridgewater and you're re-signing McCown, who we know can be a solid quarterback, or let's say going after the Case Keenums, or there's somebody out there who potentially that the Jets feel that can come in and certainly compete for a starting job at that same level, Teddy Bridgewater could end up being a steal for some team. I certainly think, like you said, that it's going to be one of those when he hits the open market, there may not be a very deep pool for him to go to where, A, he's going to be able to start, and B, being able to make some money. I'm guessing a lot of teams are going to pay him backup quarterback type of money. I think Bridgewater's athleticism, his toughness, what he can do with his feet, but also his ability to read and get the ball down the field. He's a very intriguing idea, but you can't do that and then have a young quarterback under him as an understudy ready to step in and think you're going to be a serious playoff contender. The idea has to be basically a 1 and a 1A if you're signing Bridgewater. Bridgewater and a veteran.
So I think you touched on this a little bit, and I'm just kind of interested in your take on the way the Jets approach this offseason. Obviously, they're going to walk in with a ton of cap space, and I think you may have touched on this a little earlier. Do you think it's going to be the type of offseason like 2015 where they entered with a lot of cap space and they really spent up to the cap? You know, they went all the way there. They were tied up against the cap. Or do you think it's going to be maybe a little more restrained where they'll spend? Look, I don't think there's any question. They're going to bring in some free agents. They're going to bring in a couple guys who are expensive, but maybe will they leave themselves with a little space to carry over from 2018 into 2019? And I know nobody knows. I'm just interested what you think that their philosophy will be.
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah, and you have to think that Mike Maccagnan perhaps learned his lesson, and perhaps part of it was the fact they didn't think Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to be as successful as he was. Therefore, they ran into some of the cap issues in 2016, had to make some moves, and then the holdout really kind of dragged on and became a big distraction and perhaps sunk the season before it started. But you're really looking at a situation here where in today's modern NFL, and a lot of people were writing about it in 2016, how the Jets' free spending in 2015 set them up for a lot of difficulty. They couldn't upgrade. They couldn't make any adjustments throughout the season. It became a challenge when someone went down. They couldn't bring in someone who's a veteran or higher profile. And part of the reason why Mike Maccagnan had to do that and gamble in 2015 was just simply because there wasn't enough talent on that roster that he inherited from cheapskate John Idzik. And now I sound like Donald Trump calling John Idzik a name, so I apologize for that. But you had a situation where you didn't have a lot of depth, you didn't have a lot of young players, and now all of a sudden you've got the Jamal Adams and the Marcus Mays and the Leonard Williams and some of the young talent on this team. There is more depth in place. So the Jets don't necessarily have to spend all the way up to $80 million or $85 or whatever they end up having. They could spend three-fourths of that and then carry it over, as we kind of alluded to a few moments ago. They're going to have to re-sign Leonard Williams. Jamal Adams, yes, he's on his rookie contract, but a couple years pass in the NFL, and sometimes it's better to be able to sign a player earlier in the process, re-sign him long-term, than to let him hit free agency or go into that summer before where you have a potential holdout situation. So you have to think Mike Maccagnan learned the value of carrying over $8 to $10 million into 2019 and beyond. But it's certainly going to be an offseason where there's going to be a lot of spending. The Jets are going to be linked to some high names. And also, they're going to have to do some work in-house to keep a couple guys.
Yeah, and I think just in terms of the value of signing a player before he's about to hit free agency, I think the Wilkerson situation shows you that. I mean, you look at his cap space for this year. Now, I mean, even if he was playing up to his talents, I mean, that would have been a big hit. And, you know, the way he played the last 2 years, it's that contract just turned catastrophic. And, you know, if they had been able to lock him up a little earlier, I mean, maybe the decline still would have happened, but it wouldn't hurt so much against the cap.
Yeah, that is one of those where you're kind of hedging your bets just a little bit. But, you know, what Jets fan didn't want to see Muhammad Wilkerson signed to that contract a couple of years ago? He was one of those guys, and we've always seen this come, whether the Jets were at the old Meadowlands or at MetLife, Hofstra, or now in Florham Park. Guys who come up through the Jet system who are drafted, how many talented players have then moved on after 4 or 5 years, found big contracts in some other place, and then the Jets have to go out and get a veteran at the end of their contract, you know, at the end of their career, rather, and kind of build a team that way. And here was Muhammad Wilkerson, local guy, drafted by the Jets, a Pro Bowl player, you know, someone who's involved in the community and fighting against breast cancer and doing a lot of things to help the homeless in the area. Everything seemed like all the boxes were checked off. Everyone was on board with the idea of having Muhammad Wilkerson to a long-term contract 2 years ago. It just hasn't played out that way. Now, the good news is that the Jets are in a position of strength to a certain extent. They can certainly cut Muhammad Wilkerson, try to trade him for a day 3 pick, which is probably the ceiling of what they're going to get, or just end up trying to keep him on board and see what they can get out of this guy. And if they're able to get some production, I think Muhammad Wilkerson can put this team over the top. I really do. But there's got to be some mending offenses this offseason.
Right. I agree with you. I think, you know, at the time I was for the Wilkerson deal. I think my only point is that as you approach Leonard Williams, you know, if the Jets had approached Wilkerson with an extension a year or two earlier, maybe the ramifications of that deal wouldn't hurt so much right now. So I think that's something
they could have given more guaranteed money and offered it up in a different way so that there wouldn't be that type of cap hit. But you also want to see production. You want to see a guy who's a late first round pick who was a little bit raw. I know he produced, but he was still a little bit raw. You want to see if he can continue to do that and build on it. And as soon as he got that money, unfortunately, whether it was physical things or other things going on away from the football field, it appeared that Muhammad Wilkerson will not be going into the Ring of Honor anytime soon with the Jets.
No. So let's look at some of the key free agents the Jets have. And there are a number of guys who were starters this year who are going to hit free agency. You have DeMario Davis, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Morris Claiborne. We talked about McCown a little bit. Which guy do you think is the most important to bring back into the fold?
I mean, you look at DeMario Davis, and I can't help but think that's someone who should have been a Pro Bowl player. I tweeted that yesterday. I fortunately didn't have to watch the Pro Bowl live. I caught the replay and just some of the linebacker play. What DeMario Davis showed this year, and the one criticism of his game, he's always been good in the run support. He's always been good with taking on blockers. You know, he's been fairly decent at getting after the quarterback. He's a consistent tackler for the most part. But the one thing is DeMario Davis struggled in the open field, in particular with pass coverage. And I think he did a tremendous job this year, in particular the first third of the season in his pass coverage. He got exposed a little bit from time to time second half of the year, but really kind of taking a step forward in terms of that development, that growth, the numbers he put up. He was a sure tackler. He was one of the best run stoppers in the league by nearly every metric in that category. To me, he was the glue that held the defense together. He was also in many ways the emotional voice of the Jets and the Jets locker room. I wrote when the Jets traded for him in a deal that now looks like an absolute steal that they made with the Cleveland Browns, that the Jets are getting somebody who is going to be a leader in a locker room filled with a lot of young players. Now, as this team morphs from 2017, right, into 2018, I think DeMario Davis plays a very similar role as the Jets transition from being a young team to now a team that's gone out there, get some established veterans, again, adds another draft class. The one constant is going to be DeMario Davis through this all. So to me, he's a top priority. After that, I think Austin Seferian Jenkins certainly proved his worth. The concern always with him is the off the field. He was good for 1 year. He certainly produced, was a great citizen. But how much money do the Jets want to throw in a situation where he's had a couple other run-ins in the past. That, to me, is going to have me just be a little bit hesitant. Would probably be more incentive-based in terms of the contract than actual guaranteed money. But Austin Seferian Jenkins was a very, very smart, savvy pickup this offseason by Mike Maccagnan. I'd like to see him return to the Jets in 2018.
Well, you know, my biggest takeaway from all this is that you watch the Pro Bowl.
What was that?
You actually watched the Pro Bowl?
I did, yes. A few minutes of it, yes. You know, it was that time when you were trying to fall asleep at night. So.
Okay, yeah. That's what I, you know, this past couple of days, there have been two things that I've been just like incessantly bashing. One is the Pro Bowl, and two is the fact that the XFL is back. And I mean, I still can't get over the fact the XFL is back.
Oh, listen, this is going to be either finally what the USFL was supposed to be. Maybe WWE got some religion from all of this, or it's going to be an even more colossal disaster. And this time it's going to be bland. It's not going to have the cheerleaders or the hot tubs on the sidelines or the he hate me names or anything else. It's just going to fail because it's not the NFL. But you see the fact that a lot of people now are starting to tune out of the league. Maybe if there's something a bit more traditional, a bit more uncensored. And then I do think there's an element of society that wants to see more patriotism in their sports. Now may be the best time for any type of spring football league to unfold. So it may just be right. We may be in the minority here in our views on the XFL.
Well, here's my question. You know, you talked about there's not going to be the he hate me. There's not going to be the cheerleader. Are they going to have the race for the ball instead of the coin toss like they had the first time?
Well, you know what? The XFL really brought aboard a lot of new kind of innovations. The helmet cam was one of those things. That was great. I'm not sure if we're going to see the players necessarily racing. We may see more traditional football out of the XFL, but if it can end up being a league that can help develop players, be a true spring league, I'm not expecting them to compete with the NFL, nor do I think they should, but in secondhand markets, you're seeing places like, Orlando being talked about in Birmingham and even New Jersey potentially being a market. This could end up being a very good thing because when you look at the NFL young roster, the overhaul, the practice squads, really players staying on there a week or two, and the new rules in place with the collective bargaining agreement, with the amount of hitting, tackling, pads that can be used in practice, young players are not developing the way that they once did. They're not allowed to. They're not allowed to grow. If the XFL can provide actual live reps in a game situation, in an atmosphere and environment that's conducive to these young players, you're probably going to see a lot of players saying, I'd rather take equal money to play the game, get stuff on film, grow, develop, be in a professional environment than be on an NFL practice squad where I might languish for 3 or 4 months.
Well, that's disappointing. I just like making fun of the XFL. That's actually a very logical argument for it.
Well, I'm willing to surprise every once in a while. A blind squirrel finds an occasional nut.
All right. Well, Christian Dyer, thank you for joining us.
You wanted nothing to do with me now that I'm on board with the XFL. That's very clear.
No,
fun. As Chris Nimbley, a Jets insider, once said about me, you hate fun. Well, I'm going to turn around and say to you, you hate fun.
That must be it. That must be, I'll tell you. Everybody out there who loves that race where the guy tore his ACL for the football instead of the coin toss. That's, yeah, you're right. You got it.
Yeah, no, nothing says gimmick like racing for football. Listen, there's lessons to be learned from the XFL. I think if they can straighten it out, they've got at least a shot to be able to make this thing stick. I believe that.
All right. Well, Christian, thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
And that'll do it for our show today. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks again to Christian Dyer for giving us such a great show. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, of course, you can subscribe to it. Options include iTunes and Spotify. We'll deliver the show to your device each day. And please give it a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll be back again on Wednesday.